Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Good morning. How you guys doing? I got to stretch. You guys doing good over there? Are you guys doing good? Yeah? You got your food? You guys got your food items over there? That's pretty cool. Did you guys know that you can bring food and drinks if you sit on the tables over there? Pretty cool. Pretty amazing. You're welcome for that information. You're welcome. How many of you guys just wish you would have had more coffee this morning? Anybody tired? Yeah, me too. Last Friday, it's been a pretty monumental time in my life. Last Friday, my second daughter was born. And we got a picture of her. There she is. So peaceful. That's Romy River Vietti right there. She's 6, 7, 8. She's 9 days, 10 days old. 10 days old. So now, how much did she weigh? She weighed 7.7 pounds. So, and then she dropped a little bit of weight, and she's gaining it again. So this is right here. This is her daytime state. She sleeps during the day, and she is fully awake at night, ready to party, ready to have fun. So my wife and I have been getting less sleep. Her, of course, less than me, considerably. It's not fair. The whole process, none of it, from the pregnancy to the labor to everything. I have amazing respect for all of you mothers. So good job. Thank you. Honestly, if men had to do anything that women had to do, as far as the that process goes, we wouldn't have a population anymore. I'm convinced we would have given up. But moms are tough, man. They're tough. So I hope you guys are doing good today. Last service, I wasn't able to get through everything, but it was still good. It worked out. But I have some stuff for you today. I have some stuff that I believe is from God. I have some wisdom from the scriptures. And so as we look at this and look at the life of Jesus, today's title is Every Kingdom Has a King, and we know who that king is. We're going to talk about Jesus and what he stood for. And as we do that, I want to encourage you guys to reflect on your own life. And not think about how successful you are, not think about how happy you are, not think about what you lack in life, but think about how in line you are with Jesus. Because in the end, what really matters is that we are walking with him, right? And that's what we're talking about today. I'm going to start with a scripture, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to get into it. But go ahead and look at Romans. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us today to have joy and peace. Right? How many of you guys know that when God takes burdens away, that there's a feeling of relief? That when he takes anxieties away, when he takes fears away, when he pulls things that don't belong in our lives out of our lives, we can rest. We can smile. I remember driving to Las Vegas one time to preach, and one of my good friends was with me, and we started talking about stress, and I said, man, like, a lot of people just need to learn to relax their face. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, just look at people's faces sometimes. You can see the stress on their face. Let God take the burdens away from us. That's what we want today. And then in place of that, I want him, I pray that he will fill us with joy, fill us with peace, fill us with the love that we need to wake up tomorrow morning and say, hey, God, what do you have for me, right? And then do it all over again, Wake up Tuesday morning. God, what do you have for me? Do it all over again. Wake up Wednesday morning. God, what do you have for me today? And God will surprise you with what he has for you. Don't limit God. All right, I'm going to start preaching in a minute, but let's pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are. And I thank you for what you do. Lord, specifically, I thank you for never giving up on us. I thank you for never, ever, 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 ever giving up on us. Even at our darkest moments, even at our worst times, even at those times where we doubt and we fear and we totally ignore your presence, Lord, you still don't give up on us. All we have to do is turn around and look back at you, and you're right there. You're with us every single place, Lord, every single nook and cranny, every single shadow that we've been in, Lord. You've been with us, and you have pulled us out, Lord, and you've pulled us into the place that you are. I thank you for that, God, and I thank you for just everything you're doing. I pray, God, that if there's anybody here today that needs to have a little bit of heart surgery, I pray that you would take the things out that don't belong, and I pray that you replace inside our hearts a love and a passion for first for you. And that would also create a love for the people around us. Lord, we love you, and we just thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so I was praying and thinking and trying to focus this week. It's been a tough one. Like I said, you don't get a lot of sleep when you have a new baby. And I knew what this series was about. It's about the kingdom of God. And I have had sermons about that before. And I just kept praying and thinking about that. And I just thought, you know what? If I'm going to talk about the kingdom, I got to talk about the king. I got to talk about who Jesus is and what he does. And I had this thought, what if Jesus were to show up here in person, right, in flesh? Like, what if he walked out on the stage? If he did, I would just hand him the microphone. I'd walk off. I'd be like, I'm done, right? And he would speak to us, and he would give us an amazing sermon, amazing message. Maybe he would heal people today. Who knows what he would do here, right? But then after after the service is over and everybody left, what would Jesus do? Would he get into his car? Would he have a car? I don't know. Would he drive? Maybe. And I thought, maybe if he drove, like, what kind of car would he drive, right? Would he drive a really nice, fancy car? Would he drive? I personally think he would drive a Toyota. And the reason I think that is because it's reliable. It'll get him to where he needs to go. That's also what I drive. So I just think that that's what Jesus would drive. But then I was thinking, maybe he would Uber. I don't know, because he can talk to the Uber driver. I don't really know what Jesus, how he would get around. Maybe somebody would just, one of you guys would take him around. You know, it'd be like, I'm going to hang out with Jesus all day. Probably that would be the case. So I don't know how he would get around. But let's say he went to the mall today and he started talking to people. Like how would Jesus react to our culture today, right? Would Jesus be like, what, Kanye West is at Joel Osteen's church today? That's so weird, right? Like what? How would Jesus react? And I started thinking about this, and I started thinking, you know what? Jesus wouldn't react to culture because he wasn't reactionary to culture. Jesus followed God. He was on mission. And when people expected things of him, more times than not, he would do the opposite of what people expected him to do. Because he was on mission with God. He listened to God. He did exactly what God asked him to do in the moment. And so lately I've been hearing a lot about Jesus. I've been hearing people on the street talk about who Jesus is and what he does, and I you hear some good stuff, but then you also hear people use the name of Jesus to explain their own behavior, right? Use him as an excuse, or you know, as a like Jesus would back up their opinion. And obviously we've seen a lot on Facebook lately about, you know, people throwing up, you know, what would Jesus do? And I started thinking about that. What would Jesus do? In order to understand what Jesus would do in any circumstance, we have to know what Jesus did. And so we're going to be in the book of Mark today, chapter 1. And if you guys don't have a good habit of reading the scriptures, I would encourage you to get into a good habit of reading the scriptures, not just for knowledge's sake, but get into the habit of reading scriptures to understand what God is speaking to you, because he will speak to you through his scriptures. He will. And if you guys are not in a good habit and you need some help, we have little bookmarks, like Bible study. They're postcards is what they are. And the entire church goes through the entire Bible together. And so if you guys want to follow along, in fact, we're going to start the book of Mark this week, later on in the week. So if you want to start fresh and get into a good habit, I would encourage you to go out there and get one of those postcards, throw it in your Bible, put your Bible on your nightstand, put it somewhere where you're going to see it every day. And just choose for the next 40 days, the next 30 days, I'm going to choose to wake up and I'm going to read. I'm going to at least try, at least attempt to read something about God. And I'm going to read it in a way to where I'm not just trying to learn. Yes, it's good to learn, but I'm also going to read in a way to where I believe God will communicate to me personally through the scriptures. If you do that, I guarantee you something's going to change. Something's going to break, right? And then it'll be fixed in the right way. So I'd encourage you to do that. So we're going to jumpstart you here by looking at Mark chapter 1. And we're looking at what Jesus did. I jotted down 7 things. I got through, I think I got through 6 last service. So we're going to try to get through all 7. But I'm going to skip the first part of the chapter. The first part is verses 1 through 13. It's about the prep that Jesus did before his ministry. There's a lot there, and it's very good, and that's an entirely different sermon. I think I only have time to speak one sermon today, so we're going to start at verse 14, and we're going to go through the end of chapter 1. Sound good? You guys with me? All right, so if you want to take notes, go back, read this yourself, okay? Anything that we speak here, you need to go back and read it yourself, okay? Don't just listen to what we have to say and take it, and that's not enough food for your whole week. That's enough food for today, but tomorrow you got to pick it back up. You got to eat again. That's one thing I learned about babies. They got to eat a lot, right? And so when we're babies, we got to eat a lot. So if you're new to the Christian faith, you got to eat every 2 hours. That just is what it is, right? But if you are seasoned, you still need to eat. You don't need to starve. And you need to fill your cup. You need to let God give you what he needs to give you. And that comes through the scriptures. That comes through prayer, right? So please don't forget to do that, because you will be lost without it. I can't see you guys over there very well, but you guys doing good? Yeah? This TV's kind of in the way, but I love you. I do. I don't know all of you real well, but, you know, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the heart for you guys over there. Are you guys over there, too? It's always been weird that people sit so far. But, I actually sat over there all the time, too. It's more comfortable. It's less intimidating. Like, when you sit over there, you think, like, the pastor's not going to speak to me, so I'm good, right? Like, I'm safe. I know how it is. I know how it is. Love you guys. You guys. You know. All right, so let's move forward. So verse 14, chapter 1, 14, we're looking at what Jesus did to understand what Jesus does, okay? So verse 14, it says, after John, this is John the Baptist, had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay, so the first thing I want to look at here is I want to correct something. Some of us have been taught incorrectly that in order to share Jesus with somebody, we need to make them understand how wretched and horrible they are first. And that's kind of incorrect. I mean, Jesus started with the good news first. Jesus started with the good stuff. He said, you know what? There's something new. And it's here right now. In fact, he was saying, I am something new. And I am here right now. The kingdom of God is at hand, which means you can grab it, right? Right here, the king himself was on the scene, and he was saying, hey, there is an old way of doing things. At this time, the people of Israel, they were under discipline still. They were under an old system, a system that was based on law, based on rules. There was 10 commandments. Underneath that, there were 613 commands that you had to follow in order to be good with God. How many of you guys are thankful that we are not under all those rules anymore, right? So Jesus comes onto the scene. He says, there's a better way. You don't have to go to the temple and hear what the priest says about what he says about God, right? Like there's not somebody that's holy that has to go in and hear God and come out and tell you what he says. You're not going to get secondhand information anymore. Now that I am here, Jesus says, you can get the firsthand information. There's something much better here. This is a good thing. This is good news. The word gospel actually means great, amazing, good news. It's the good stuff, right? So he comes on first saying there's something better, therefore repent and believe. Okay, therefore you might want to stop, turn around, and come back. The word repent basically means to change your mind. In order to change your mind, you've got to be willing to stop. Some of you, some of us, are in a bad habit of allowing anxiety to just run our lives. Some of us are in a bad habit of just letting fear run rampant. Some of us are in a bad habit of losing our temper because we think angry thoughts. If you think angry thoughts, then eventually that anger is going to come out in action. Right? Some of us, we're stuck in a rut. We're confused. We can't go further because God wants us to be stuck. He wants us to be there so that we can understand that the way we've been doing things, the way we've been thinking, the old way isn't working anymore. That God wants us to realize that there's something new and fresh. He wants us to stop and reevaluate. How often do you do that? How often do you guys stop and just reevaluate? That's why prayer and reading the word and all these things are so important, because it causes us to stop and to reevaluate. Taking communion, so important. You can do it at home, by the way. I know we don't do it as often here as we need to. We need to ramp that back up and get that back on the page. We'll talk about that soon. But you can do it at home. You can sit down and you can drink the juice, or even use wine if you're feeling crazy. I don't know. And pray and just ask God to examine your heart. Because when God looks down, he doesn't look at your bad attitude or your good attitude. He doesn't look at your circumstance. He looks at your heart. And if you have a heart that's willing, if you have a heart that's ready, that's open, he can do something with that. But if you're closed, if you're the type of person that says, I got this figured out, I'm good, God will let you go the way that you think you should go. And usually that's not good, right? Usually that leads you to injury. But fortunately, God is the God who will come back around and heal you and teach you, right? Some of you guys have to learn the hard way. How many of you guys are that type of person? I got to learn the hard way, right? Yeah? The rest of you guys, easy. It's good. So the first thing that Jesus did is he gave the good news first. Romans 12:2. To go on to this idea about renewal and repentance, this is it. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The word transformed there is the same idea of a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. My daughter loves bugs for some reason. I feel like she's not my daughter. It's the weirdest thing because I'm not a big bug fan. But she the other day, she's had a caterpillar like crawling on her, you know? And it like crawled up her shirt and it crawled up her neck. It was really gross. I'm like, this is disgusting. But she loved it. She's having a blast. And I explained to her, I said, this is going to turn into a butterfly someday. And her eyes just got so excited. And so the other day she sees a butterfly flying around. She's like, is that the caterpillar? I was like, maybe. I'm like, I don't, it's possible. I don't know. I don't lie. I never lie to her. I'm like, the probability of that happening is not very high. I'm that dad. But the idea is that when we renew our mind, we'll change. That's how we change. See, God has a plan for you. God has a calling for you. God believes in you. Have you guys ever thought of the person you could be? Have you ever just thought of, like, there's somebody inside of me that I know is there? Like, there's this person you could be. Well, God believes in that person. And God believes in you so much. I bet he has your picture on his fridge, right? That God not only loves you, but he actually likes you. He actually wants you to do well in life. He actually wants you to be whole. He actually wants you to be full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, all those things, right? He wants you to be full of those things. But he also knows that you got to let him move in your life, right? And it starts with renewing your mind. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. I'm just going to read it on here. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Basically, what that means is that we will be completely whole and justified through our belief only, not through works, right? So when we renew our mind and we realize that, hey, I need to think differently, and then realize that it's not something you need to do better, it's something you need to just accept. That changes your perspective, and that changes everything, and that actually makes you good with God. Once you realize that his way is better than your way, once you realize that Jesus is Lord, and that you can give your life over to him, and believe in him, and believe that he lived, believe that he died, believe that he rose again, and believe that he wants to do your own, he wants to have your own personal resurrection. He wants to take what is dead in your life, and he wants to raise it back up. When you believe that you have this communion with God and his plan, things change, and you become good with God in that instant, in that moment. And that is only made possible by the works of Jesus. He did it, right? So that we wouldn't have to. It's like we think, I Googled the other day, I Googled, like, how do you become a Christian? And I think, like, people might do that if they want to learn how to become a Christian. And there's, like, so many different things on the internet, right? Like, everybody has an opinion. And there's all these different things that, you know, are good to do. Baptism, all these things are good to do. But they're not requirements for becoming a Christian. They're a requirement to obey and do all these things. But Jesus just, he lays it out in Mark chapter 1. He says, all you have to do is repent and believe. That's it. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Stop thinking the way you're thinking. Trust him. That's it. Trust Jesus. You know, the thief on the cross at the very end of Jesus' life, he just recognized him as Lord. And you know what? Jesus looked at that thief and said, you're going to be with me in paradise. He wasn't baptized. I'm not saying you shouldn't be baptized. Of course you should be baptized because the Bible says to do it. It's a matter of obedience. And so there's a difference between salvation and sanctification. There's a difference between like getting into heaven, like being good with God, and actually growing into the person that you're supposed to be. So it starts with salvation, and then God leads you down a path. And he shows you how to become the person that you were called to be. And a lot of it has to do with letting go. A lot of it has to do with surrender. A lot of it has to do with trust. Right? And understanding who he is and understanding that he's going to take you by the hand and he's going to lead you. Through temptation, he'll lead you, right? Which doesn't mean that he'll lead you around temptation. It means he'll lead you right straight through it. You'll be tempted. We're all tempted. But he will lead you through that in order to get closer to him, right? I'm getting off base here. Let me go back to the scriptures here. Back to Mark 1. What did Jesus do? So important. And I hope that this message is a message that gets you excited about Jesus and who he is. That he is for you, right? And that if you read his scriptures and read what he did this for you and for them. You and the people around you, right? You and the people in your community. You and the people in this church. You and the people at that other church, right? He did this for us. Verse 16 and 17 and 18 says this. It says, and as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And they immediately left the nets and followed him. So you got Peter, who's Simon, and his brother Andrew, and they're fishermen. And Jesus comes along and he says, hey, stop what you're doing, right? Stop what you're doing, follow me. This is exactly what he was talking about by repentance and belief, right? He says, stop doing what you're doing. Stop focusing on what you're focusing. Stop stressing about what you're stressing about right here, trying to catch fish, and just follow me. And they did. They dropped it, and they followed him. Now, I'm not telling you all to just quit your jobs today, okay? But sometimes we need to quit stressing about our jobs. Sometimes we need to quit stressing about, the relationship that you're in, that you think you're still in, maybe. Right? Sometimes you need to stop, worrying about your children. There's a difference between praying them and giving them to God and worrying. There's a big difference. Both take energy. Both take work. One works, one doesn't. Right? It's so important that we learn to do these things. It's so important that we learn to trust God in everything. Some of you guys are just throwing nets. We're throwing nets, trying to catch fish, trying to do what we think we should be doing, when God just says, stop. Cease striving and know that I am God. Right? When was the last time that stress got you somewhere? Think about it. When was the last time you woke up stressed out of your mind all day long and then woke up the next day feeling better? It doesn't work. Versus, when was the last time that you felt the tension of this world, which does happen, and you gave it to God and you started being thankful for the things that He has given you? Right? When was the last time you did that? Because that will change your perspective and that will change everything. It may not change your circumstance, but it could. Your circumstances are much more likely to change if you have a good attitude. I guarantee you that. And you gotta have a good attitude, because what else do you have, right? At the end of the day, we've got what we've got. And you know what we have? I see people in here who are able to walk in on 2 feet today. You know, maybe not everyone. Maybe some of you are in a wheelchair. I don't know. But you're able to breathe. You're able to eat. You're able to have whatever it is that you need in the moment. And because of that, we should be thankful. And if you're thankful, then guess what? You're going to be happier. Your face is going to be relaxed. Right? You're going to be all right. And people are going to be like, what do you have? It's not what I have. It's who I have. Right? I have Jesus. And anyway, all right, let's move on. So the next one, verse 21, Mark. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were all amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Jesus did not walk in and say, listen, guys, let me tell you what I know. Right? He didn't walk in and say, hey guys, I know all these laws by heart. I'm going to show you how much I know so that you leave impressed with me. No, he didn't do that. He came in and spoke with authority because he was on mission. God had given him a mission, and Jesus understood something that we all need to understand. When God leads us on mission, he's not going to let us go alone on that mission. He's going to be with us. He's going to have your back every single step of the way, right? And when he does that, guess what happens? When you realize that God is with you, you start to have confidence that you shouldn't have, right? I don't know about, this is something personal, but I hate speaking in front of people. I don't even like going to parties, okay? That's me. I'm antisocial to the max on a natural level. But God has put me in front of people, and every single time I do this, I have to go and I have to beg God for forgiveness. I have to go through my whole list of sins. I say, it's like a personal thing that I have to go through. I'm like, sorry, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry about that. God, please help me, Lord, please. And then I beg him. I'm like, God. And then at some point, God's like, shush. Remember, I called you to do this. And I'm going to be with you. And it's like this weight leaves. I'm like kind of addicted to doing this because of that. So if you guys wanted to get rid of me, I'm sorry, but it's not going to happen. I'll be on a rock somewhere in a park. But just the feeling of just knowing that God is with you on mission, it's amazing. There's nothing like it. There's nothing that compares. And God wants the same thing for every one of us, right? God has a mission for you. It might be a short-term mission. You might be a Navy SEAL, right? Or you might be one of those behind-the-computer soldiers that's just working. I don't know. Whatever mission God has for you, realize that he's going to be with you, and that's going to be the greatest reward of that mission, is just being close to him, being where he is, right? It's really amazing. It really is. I guess all I can say is don't knock it till you tried it, right? Verse 20, One did that one. Yeah, we're moving along. Okay, we're doing good. We got a few minutes. Verse 23 says, and this is while Jesus is preaching in the church, okay? It says, and just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, what do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know you are the Holy One of God. And verse 25 says, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. Let me just explain to you what's going on here. Jesus went to church. He walked into the church, and he started speaking with authority, and he found demons there in the church, right? Demons were in the church, and he said, did you come to destroy us? Jesus came to get him out. So here's the deal. I didn't really know where to go with this other than to just say this, okay? Pray about what church you commit yourself to. I know for a fact that not everybody here today, and not everybody listening to this on the internet especially, is committed to one church, okay? You need to commit to one church. It doesn't have to be this one. It's okay if it's not this one. We're good with it. We're secure. But it has to be the right church. And it might not even be a perfect church. It might be far from perfect. Our church is far from perfect, right? But it has to be the right church. Because you never know what church is being ran by something else. You know? And Jesus came to speak the truth. And he came to rid the churches of wolves. Of wolves. You know, there's church leaders that are afraid. Many, way too many, that are afraid to speak the truth. They're afraid that they're going to lose their church. They're afraid that they're going to get criticized. And just maybe demons have creeped their way in. Maybe the devil's creeped his way in. I don't know. But I know that it's not good. Honestly, truthfully, I'm confident in this church just for one simple reason. It's because God's in charge. And we may not always make the right decisions. We may make mistakes. But in the end, we're going to listen to him. Last service, when I started speaking that part, the lights started flickering. It was crazy. So apparently there were demons in that service. Not this one, though. We're good. Got to watch that first service. You never know. Verse 31. I'm not going to read the verse again, but basically Jesus heals. The disciples end up at Peter's mother-in-law's house. And if you go to Israel, if you take a trip there, you can actually visit this house in Capernaum. It's really cool. It looks like a spaceship. There's like a spaceship over the top of it. It's like this viewing thing. Anyway, that doesn't matter. You don't care. But you can actually go to this place. It's an actual place. And that's what's cool about going to Israel and seeing this stuff is it's this place exists. It actually happened. And so Jesus and his disciples actually go to this house, and they're there, and they're doing the work, and they're just involved in all these things that God has them involved in. And Peter's mother-in-law's sick, and so Jesus heals her. And it says in the scripture in verse 31 that she immediately started waiting on them after he healed her. And it makes me think of the mission that God would have for you, the things that God has for you. If he has something for you and you're sick and you start doing it, maybe he'll bring healing to you. You know, maybe that's what he's waiting for, to do that. I'm not saying that God always heals everybody. You know, sometimes he doesn't. And there's got to be a reason for that because he's God. We have to trust him in that. But I do know that when we are in service to God, that he will take care of his mission. He will take care of his people in mission. And so maybe if you are sick, start praying for other people. Start there, you know, and start asking God what you can do and just see what happens. You know, you never know. God is good. He can take care of you. He really can. And the last thing you want to do is lose hope because God does care for you. He really does. And I know that there's people probably here that are sick. There's some people probably here that have just been told they have cancer. They've just been told they have heart disease. Listen, God's got the final word. Okay, not you, not you, not the doctors. God does, okay? So just trust him in that. Just trust him in that. I feel like I just needed to throw that in there. Verse 35 says, early in the morning, so the backstory is they're at Peter's mother-in-law's house, and they're ministering, and all these people are coming to the house. And there are people that are sick, and they're being healed, and there are people that are possessed by demons, and the demons are being cast out, they're being set free. There's all this ministry going on, like lines of people, so many people just coming into this tiny little house. It's a small little house. And it's kind of like a revival. Like people, this is a mind blow for people. They're like, God is doing something here through this man. We don't know what it is, but it's something. They didn't fully understand who Jesus was at this time, but they knew something was going on. And so what happened is word started to spread to the other villages and the other towns and the other places around the Sea of Galilee, which is basically like a giant lake, right? And so there's all these different cities and towns, and so people start finding out about this, and they all start traveling to come. And in the midst of this revival situation, we have this scripture right here, and this has always been really interesting to me. Verse 35 says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. So this is all going on. More people are headed there, and Jesus gets up early, and he goes out into the woods, and he gets alone, and he starts praying in the middle of this ministry. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, Simon, Peter, same guy. And they found him, and they said to him, everyone is looking for you. And he said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby in order that I may preach there also, for that is what I came out for. So the youngsters in your house might call this, they have a term for this. It's called ghosted, right? You heard of this? Like somebody just disappears out of nowhere. They get ghosted, right? All right, we learn something new every day. So this is exactly what Jesus did. He ghosted everybody. He took off. He bailed out. This is such a mind blow because it makes me think of ministry and the things that God calls us to. There will always, always, always be an abundance of need around us. And God might have you in a certain place for a certain amount of time, but then he might want to pull you away even though the people are hunting for you, even though the people are expecting you to stay, even though the people are expecting you to do one thing, God might have you do something else. And that's exactly what happened with Jesus. He says, the need is here. The need will always be here, but I need to go somewhere else. See, Jesus understood his mission, and he understood who he worked for. He understood that he followed God the Father. He understood that he prayed, and he took his marching orders from God. And God said, the people said stay, but God said go. And so what he did was he listened to God and he went. Let me say something to you guys about this church. We are on our next year, next October, this church will have been here for 45 years. 45 years, right? And I'm not going to get through all this again. That's all right. But 44 years ago, my dad started this with a Bible study. And I know my dad's gotten a little bit of heat lately on Facebook and on the news about this shelter or whatever, right? And I felt like I needed to do like a whole sermon explaining why he's saying what he said and all this stuff. And I thought, you know what? I don't need to explain his work for the past 45 years. I don't need to do that. You guys are smarter than that. But I do feel like I need to tell you guys one thing. One of the reasons why this church is what it is, and we have this campus, we have three other campuses, we've had a couple church plants. Like, this church has been very successful. And the one reason that I have looked back at this success and saw, like, the one reason that I believe it is successful today is because the church leaders of this church have always listened to the leading of God. And we listen to what he says. And if he says go right, we go right. If he says go left, we go left. If he says say something, we say something. If he says shut up, we shut up. And that's how we roll. And that's how we will continue to roll. And so we are listening very closely to God. We are listening very closely to the Holy Spirit because the need will always be there, right? There are so many needs in this community. There's so many needs in your home. There's so many needs in the neighborhood. There's so many needs just everywhere. And the only way that this works is to allow God to be the orchestrator of all of this and for all of us to do what we're supposed to do. And what we're supposed to do first and foremost is listen. Listen and obey. If you want to be centered spiritually, realize that it all begins with God, the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob, right? And that God, our God, gave us a gift in Jesus Christ, right? And from Jesus, Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. And from the Holy Spirit, he's given us love for him, and he's given us love for the people. And then from there, we listen and we obey. And from there, it's infinite possibilities. God has a plan for each and every single one of us. God has a plan for this church. And we're in a state right now where we're listening. We're listening. That's what we should all be doing. And we're waiting for the next step. And we will do what God asks us to do. Right? And so I'm going to leave us with that because I just ran out of time again. But let's just pray this. Father, we just thank you so much for what you're doing in this church, God. We thank you so much for what you're doing in this community. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would take every single burden away from this church today. God, individual burdens, things that we are worried about. I pray, Lord, that you just take those from us. And church, right now, I'm just going to ask you to let go of those things right now. 3, 2, 1, let go of those things. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would fill us with your Spirit, give us the faith to believe, and let us act on that faith starting right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.